ahead in your career.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Get started at mstc.edu.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
So top of the eighth inning, Madison in full control. They're up 10-2. Joey Fearn with you here on this beautiful Thursday night in the state capitol as the Mallards. They've come in and they've meant business here in the second game. They surely have. So Alex Duffy will be pinch hitting for Levi Jensen. So Duffy, a catcher out of Elon, making his first appearance at the plate today. As he bats a 204, 11 hits, 54 at bats. Sam Duvall works in on the mound, 1-0. 1-0 count. Rafters three hits, two runs. And the 1-0 from Duvall fouled away. 1-1. So they're going to need one of the best, if not the best, comeback of the season to try to win this game. Down eight runs with only two innings left. And the 1-1 from Duvall inside of the zone of the strike, 1-2. This has looked night and day on the offensive side for the Rafters. And the 1-2 from Duvall to Duffy. As he swings and misses, he goes down. Sam Duvall, his first strikeout of the day. Top of the order with Ty Johnson, who's 0-2 with a run. One gone. The set, the serve high from Duvall as Johnson swings and lines one past McCann into right field. Chad McCann has the thrown out from Moreno all the way to second to Fisher, not able to tag him as Ty Johnson gets to second. So Ty Johnson, a one out double. As Alec Castillo, who had an RBI double his last time up and then a base hit before that. So Chad McCann just couldn't react in time. He stands at second. Johnson the third run. One gone. Duvall kicks here on Castillo and throws high at a ball. If they can get, you know, two runs here, 2-3, could put themselves in a position like, okay, it's manageable. Down eight runs, but we've seen a lot of different things happen. And the 1-0 and a wild pitch that goes behind Brown. Johnson gets to third. And now the third run for the Rafters could score. So a two ball count on Castillo. Johnson's already crossed home plate once today. On deck is Smigalski. Duvall kicks, turns the 2-0, and a swing and a high fly ball into right field. Back at the warning track, this ball's headed back, and this one's gone. A two-run shot from Alec Castillo. Or no, did it not go gone? Castillo stands at second. I thought that was gone. Maybe not. That is crazy because that ball looked like it hit the top and went into the stands. Kirk Schreider can't believe it. So the third run scores. Castillo's now at second. Boy, that's interesting. It was a fly ball that surely looked gone. But Castillo's now at second. Wow. So nonetheless, another one-run RBI double for him. 10-3 with one out. Duvall to Smigalski and throws low at a ball. 1-0. I guess that green line of over there where is the indication of it's being gone. I guess it didn't get over and hit the top of the wall. That's bizarre as the 1-0 and a swing and a miss from Smigalski, 1-1. So now 10-3. But hey, I mean, anything can happen here. New pitcher is warming up for Madison. Sam Duvall nearing his 23rd pitch and throws that low at a ball, 2-1. So two balls, a strike. 10-3. Madison, they've out-hit the Raptors 13-5. And the fourth offering is Smigalski, and a swing and a foul ball. 2-2, back behind home plate, two balls, two strikes. Smigalski really struggling. 0-3 today, went 0-5. He's been 0-8 here in this series, hasn't gotten a hit. Coming into this series, he led the team in batting average. A 2-2 from Duvall, and a swing and a miss. Smigalski goes down on a breaking ball at 80. That's the second time he struck out swinging. Orlando Lordoy 0-3 with three straight groundouts. Two to shortstop and one to the second baseman, Hamilton. Castillo at second. Top of the eighth. Lordoy had a home run, his first time appearing for the Raptors. Back on July the 15th against Kalamazoo. A promising young talent. The only international on this team, a native of Panama. One away to up of the eighth. The 1-0 to Lordoy. Down low at a ball, 2-0. 2-0 count with two down. A 7-run lead for the Mallards here, top of the eighth. 2-0 to Lordoy. Low of the zone at a ball, 3-0. So Sam Duvall has walked one batter. He's had two strikeouts. A three-ball count here on the cleanup hitter for the Raptors. They just could put runners on first and second. The 3-0 inside for a strike. Lordoy, every time he sees a three-ball count, he never attempts. It seems like he never even is ready for that fourth pitch. Seen that a lot this year. He'll just take a strike. 3-1 as a swing and a ball popped up away. Now the count runs full. 3-2. Duvall looking for strikeout number three. Raptors hoping for runners on first and second. Two down. The payoff from Duvall on Lordoy, and a swing and a slice ball popped up towards a left fielder, Harrell, who's charging after it. Fisher comes, bobbles it, and makes the play. The shortstop, Fisher, catches it over his shoulder for the third out. Raptors get a run. They still trail by seven. They're down 10-3. We head to the bottom of the eighth here on WFHR.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Bottom of the eighth inning as Kenyon Brown swings at the first pitch, pops it up towards, oh boy, Moroic and Johnson ran into each other. Moroic caught it. Johnson came way over, it seemed like, out of position. I mean, that was clearly towards Moroic's direction. Nonetheless, it's one out. Cal Fisher had a sac fly RBI his first time up. He's 1-for-3. He's had a base hit his third time at the plate. Paulson delivers his time at a ball 1-0. Paulson's at 54 pitches, given up 4 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. One down, the 1-0 high, and a ball 2-0. No balls, no strikes, one out. 1 gone, and a 2-0. Fouled back near, well, we are. That one right in front off the front of the press box. Thank gosh that didn't hit the window in front of us. Who balls a strike with one down.
It's an Iverson.
2-1 is the count here on Cal Fisher. 2-1 from Paulson is swinging a ball skied in the air and fouled away. So Fisher, a promising young talent, headed to Florida State, the Seminoles in Tallahassee next season. A high school senior entering his freshman year. So he's got a lot of talent in front of him, and he's got a bright future. So one down, the 2-2 from Paulson, and a swing and a high fly ball lifting away out of play once more. So Fisher, the sixth batter in this order. One out, two away, bottom of the eighth. Madison looking to close this game. And Fisher skies this one away. Another pop-up from him. It's just been a night where this game really got away from them. The Rafters, and they just did not start well. You know, gave up 3 runs in the first. And then we're down 4-1. And the second is Fisher once again fouls away. You know, and you look at it, this was a crucial game to win. They're going to need a miracle in the ninth to get back. But, you know, now with 2 games back, with 2 to go, all you can do is try to sweep Green Bay. 2-2. And Fisher lines one into left field over the third baseman, Carlson, kicking into the corner. Gallison over there to cut it off. Fisher on his way to second. And a one-out double from Cal Fisher. So Cal Fisher right now, he has just been a staple for this team's success, the shortstop. Springs in Leo Moreno. A 14 combined hits. The Raptors pitchers have given up. Haberstock with 9. Paulson with 5. As a swing and a high fly ball in the left field. Gallison chasing after this. This goes off the wall. Fisher a sharp turn around third. Charging on home and he'll score. And a one out RBI double for Leo Moreno. An 11-3 lead for the Mallards. So they've gotten back up to an 8-run lead. So a one-out RBI double. Leo Moreno, the first time he's made contact for a hit today. 15 hits. For Madison, Paulson sets and serves. Everybody has at least gotten a hit 1 through 8 in the order. Noah Sudica, the only one not to. The only one not to cross home plate is Chad McCann. Everybody has gotten home at least once. So the 0-1 McCann, a swing and a ground ball towards the diving Carlson. Goes in and out of his glove. Looks on to first. Doesn't make the throw as Chad McCann will get there now. And, man, runners on first and second. And another hit. A 11-3 in Madison. And now the only one without a hit, Noah Sudica here, bottom of the order. Runners on first and second. Now it's 12 hits yesterday, 15 today, 27 here in the past two games. Paulson looking to go to work. Kirk Schreider, Brian Dyer not going to the bullpen. Looks like Paulson will finish it out. I mean, he only has 2 outs. Rafter's down 8 runs. The 1-0 from Paulson works in for a strike, 1-1. This would be the second win for Madison here this season against Wisconsin Rapids at Warner Park. But they would tie the season series at 6-6. And the 1-1 on a swing and a high fly ball into right field. Castillo under it to make the grab. Tagging up now is Moreno. He'll get to third. Runners at the corners. Top of the order with Jackson Tucker. Madison has at least scored a run in their past 4 innings. And defensively, the pitching has been struggling. This is a thing for Wisconsin Rapids when both parties, the defense and the offense, are not coming together and playing their best ball. You know, they tend to fall in games because, you know, offensively, they're one of the worst teams statistically in the league. You know, they bat a .239 as a team. You know, that's 21st. You know, only have 540 hits on the season. That's 19th. They've been struck out 566 times. That's 4th in the league. But where they really hurt their teams is their defense. That keeps them in games because defensively, as a swing and a ground ball over towards Johnson at short, scoops it up in the throw to first. What a bullet there from Ty Johnson. But nonetheless, another run scores for Madison. They lead 11-3. We head to the top of the ninth. Can the Raptors find a miracle and pull out a miracle here at Warner Park? We'll step aside here for potentially the final inning of the night.
You have been listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook. Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the Bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
You're constantly rubbing your hands and wrists. The aches and pains just won't go away. But they can with help from Wisconsin River Orthopedics. Call on their experts, one of the certified specialists on their hand team. From surgery to therapy, Wisconsin River Orthopedics has it all. If you've been injured or suffer from pain in your hands, back, knees, ankles, or more, go to WROInstitute.com to learn about all they can do for you. From surgery to therapy, they have it all under one roof. At Wisconsin River Orthopedics in Wisconsin Rapids.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning, 11-3. Madison in front. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR on this beautiful Thursday night. Here in Madison, it hasn't been too pretty, though, for the Raptors. Just been trailing a lot this game. And it started in the first. They gave up three runs. There's been multiple score innings where there's just been more than a run. But Gus Walker now will take the place of Anthony Gallison. Walker out of Marion University, the native of Albuquerque, New Mexico, as Bryce Liddle throws this time another ball, 2-0. So 2-0 count. Liddle, who appeared in the game yesterday, where he went an inning and two-thirds at four strikeouts, as Walker fouls it away. 2-1. So if Madison, assuming they hold on this game, they win one of the next two, they are in the playoffs. 3-3 game up in Green Bay right now. The 2-1 outside of the ball. Raptors would need Green Bay to win to keep them alive. Three balls, a strike. The 3-1. And it looks like that hits Walker on the back of the neck. He'll take first. So Gus Walker hit by a pitch, and James Bornick now is due up. So Bornick, a home run his first time. He walked and then popped out to second. Walker stands at first. Liddle sets, serves, throws high. And a ball, 1-0. So 1-0 count. Walker at first. Bryce Liddle, the sophomore, University of St. Thomas, as Bornick fouls it away once more in 1-1. One ball, one strike. Only five hits for the Raptors, two errors as well. There's been 29 combined runs through these two games. A lot of runs. The 1-1 from Liddle, high and outside. And a ball, 2-1. So, hey, if he walks Bornick here, this could put runners on first and second. Try to keep the inning alive. They got eight runs to make up. Two balls, a strike. Bryce Liddle, 25 strikeouts this season. The 2-1 to Bornick, and a swing and a miss. 2-2. He's had 18 innings of work. Two stints with Madison. He played a game on July the 3rd, and then his next game was August 9th. So similar to Carlson and Paulson, where they've just had two different stints. Lidl kicks, turns, a 2-2 to Bornick. Another foul ball. Rafters have at least scored a run in two of their past three. Thanks to Alec Castillo, two one-run RBI doubles. New balls, two strikes, no outs. Walker stands at first. And a 2-2 to Bornick, high, and the throw now away to McCann. He just has to slide out to make the catch in time, and the count runs full. So, hey, right now, a full count. This would put runners on first and second with Carlson up. Lidl kicks, turns, the payoff to Bornick as a swing and a ball popped up in shallow left. The third baseman, Sudica, under it to make the grab. And now darts one over to McCann and goes behind him. As Gus Walker was on his way to second, I think he lost track of the ball. But now he'll get back to second. Looks like an error there on Sudica. Well, it looks like no, Walker will get to third. So, yeah, an error that was to McCann. They deemed him that he'll get to third. So now Walker at third with one out. Error on Sudica. That goes behind McCann. One down. Lidl turns, fires to Carlson high at a ball. A 1-0. After this is Jack Gifford, who's on deck instead of Moroic. The 1-0 in four strike, 1-1. Kirk Schreiner going to his depth. An 11-3 lead for the Mallards. The 1-1 from Lidl is high to ball. 2-1. Two more outs away in Madison. We'll be victorious. Rafters hoping for anything. Lidl had a good command yesterday with four strikeouts and ending in two-thirds. He's struggling right now. The 2-1 to Carlson has a throw now, and the tag is away. The throw from Brown to Sudica. But Carlson will see to strike 2-2. Brown almost picked off Walker.
Brown's got to relax.
Two balls, two strikes. One down. Lidl looking for strikeout number one, which would be out number two today. And a 2-2 to Carlson outside of the ball. 3-2, and now the count runs full. Jack Gifford on deck. Three balls, two strikes, one out. Lidl turns the payoff to Carlson and just fouled off the inside of the bat. 18 pitches. Hasn't thrown a walk or a strikeout. Kyle Carlson, who's 0 for 2, has drawn a walk as well. He struck out. And the payoff and a swing and a miss. Carlson goes down. So that puts one out away. Two down. Jack Gifford. He'll step in. So Jack Gifford now, a guy out of Cabrillo College. So the outfielder making his first appearance at the plate, a 214 batter and a redshirt sophomore. Three hits on 14 at-bats, two RBIs as well, and Lidl sets in on a first-pitch strike. So a big game for the Mallards to take down Wisconsin Rapids. Two more strikes away. Fans are on their feet on a lively crowd on this Thursday night. At the Duck Pond, the 0-1, swing and a miss again, 0-2, one more strike away. And Madison will go back up two games on the Rafters with two to go. Two down, No balls, two strikes. The set in from Lidl. He turns the 0-2 to Gifford as ball popped up away. Walker remains at third. One more strike away. What will put away an ugly night for Wisconsin Rapids, hoping to sweep this series and put themselves in great position. But two down, the 0-2 from Lidl. Swing and a miss, and that does it. Wisconsin Rapids goes down 11-3. They're out, hit 16-5. And, man, not a night for them on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. They're out, hit 16-5. And just a ugly night on both sides. They were down early 3-0. As Kirk Schreiner having a word now with one of the assistant coaches for Madison, but I'll tell you, it was big for Madison, but not for Wisconsin Rapids. They're going to have to find a way to, you know, we look at it right now. They're two games back with two to go. You hope Madison loses both. That's what you hope. You hope Wisconsin Rapids either wins both or loses both, because in that sense, Green Bay would go up to first, and then it would go to overall record to who gets the second spot, in which that case, Wisconsin Rapids would jump in. So kind of an interesting scenario. You want us to win at the same time. If we lose, you want us to lose the second game. There's so many scenarios, but bottom line is Madison wins one more. You know, that all goes to bed, and they would be themselves and see themselves in the playoffs. But not a night for Wisconsin Rapids. They're going to have to find a way to regroup, potentially the final two games of the season. Good for them, though. They're back at home. They haven't been home since last Saturday, August the 5th. So we head to Witterfield tomorrow for a game which Wisconsin Rapids will see the Green Bay Rockers. First pitch is at 6:35 at Witterfield. We hope to see everybody down there, which could be potentially the final two games of the regular season. But for now, a loss for the Rafters. They're the one they're going to have to shake off. They're going to have to get back to winning ways to their next two. But for now, we will head away as Wisconsin Rapids falls. For the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio at WFHR, my name is Joey Fear, saying so long from Madison. We'll see you right back in Wisconsin Rapids tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know, from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now, that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 59, winds out of the east 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 81, cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Global warming policy. The Republican Supreme Court rubber-stamped his disastrous push for the massively polluting Mountain Valley Pipeline. This 300-mile environmental scar across two states will be like adding 26 more coal-fired power plants to our climate change crisis. Then there's his unconscionable approval this year of Willow, an oil drilling project in the Arctic that will release hundreds of millions of tons of additional greenhouse gas emissions. Plus, approving and subsidizing dozens of other fossil fuel boondoggles. Worse, Biden has meekly refused to take the genuinely bold step of declaring a climate change emergency, even as he's pushed new laws to remove the people's right to challenge corporate profiteering at the expense of climate sanity. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, the Republicans are worse, but pointing that out is neither a policy nor good politics. Climate change is not a future problem, it is now. If Biden wonders why his approval rating is a woeful 39%, there it is. People want and need presidential boldness, not a hot weather website.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. You got any thoughts, questions, comments, want to hear it? Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line three. Alice, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Living the dream. What's on your mind?
Okay. So first of all, we're going to touch on the social psychology. The reason why these people, you know, Trump came out and he showed that it was okay to be hateful and to be nasty and spew all this racist nonsense. And his base didn't see any repercussions. Up to that point, if you remember, and I recall you talking about how when you were much younger and living with your grandparents, your grandfather told you not to play with the one neighbor people's grandchildren and children because he had been a scab. And so he was like a social pariah.
Yep.
And that's what we had been doing for the last 40 or 50 years with these people that you know, were spewing all this nasty stuff. But then Trump comes out, and he just goes off, and nothing happened. So now his base and a lot of the other Republicans think, oh, well, hey, it's fine and dandy. There's no repercussions.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, and look, the internet gave him a huge tool to for people, the like-minded folks, to find each other. Because look, we've always had kooks and cranks and racists, and you know, we've always had those folks with us. And as you've so eloquently reminded me, we as a society kind of kept them in check. But as soon as they found a way to find each other and find that they had numbers, and a leader to say it's okay. Yeah, it was game on. You're right.
Well, yeah, and you could see it. I mean, and plus add to that, you have Fox News and all these other right-wing nonsense, you know, spewing their stuff. And again, there was no repercussions. So, you know, it's going to be kind of hard. It's going to take a couple of generations to stick these people back under the rock, basically.
No.
And, you know, they were, you said that the one, you got the one email about Trump is a sociopath. He is. He is a sociopath. He also suffers from narcissism. Now I'm dragging out the psychology degree here.
Okay, Dr. Ellis.
I have a degree in psych and soc. So he is. You know, it's possible to be both. And he has a number of personality disorders. And at heart, he is a sociopath. And there are actually, and the most conservative estimate is, that one out of every 25 people in the United States is a sociopath, suffers from some sort of sociopathy. That's the conservative. I mean, well, you know, there are other people that say it's more like 4 out of 25, and you'll see those numbers, you know, differ. So we actually, we have a problem here in the United States with this going on.
Yeah, we got a lot of self-centered people. That's not surprising.
Yeah, we do. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was, just like your email you got from the evangelical whatever last night, that it was the victim, the Christians are always the victims. You're right, they don't read the Bible. If they read the Bible, they would find out that, oh, gee, Jesus said in the end days that he's going to line them up. Good people, bad people. Hey, you visited me when I was in prison. The person says, when did I visit you? When did I give you water? When did I give you food? And he said, what you did for the least one of these, so you did for me. And then he's telling the other people, well, you didn't visit me and you persecuted me. So guess what? See you later. They don't read the Bible.
Yeah, those are liberal talking points,
listen,
Alice.
They don't.
Yep.
But, you know, there you go.
Thank you.
Have a good evening, Rick.
Appreciate it. No, those are liberal talking points, evidently, now in the new OG world. Let's go to, we got Bob in San Jose on line four. Bob, how are we doing today?
Well, pretty good, actually. It's not outrageously hot out here on the left coast.
Good.
Although they're predicting hot for the weekend. I have two things, and I'll try to make it very quick. The first one, which I don't know how much you heard this, but I did, in the 2016 election, I heard Hillary Clinton talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership being the gold standard. And everybody I knew was saying, we don't need another NAFTA.
Yeah, they
were talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership as being the NAFTA on steroids. And Donald Trump said, I'm going to get us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And that was one of the first things he actually did when he was elected. So in my mind, and the people I know, that was one of the reasons for not voting for Hillary.
Why he did vote for
Trump had to do with Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Hillary and the other people in the Democratic Party would not define as being safe for working people.
Yeah, what she did, because I had
more jobs going offshore.
Right, I had a number of her people on the show.
That's just kind of where I'm wrapping up, because my other comment, which is the one, goes back to the early 60s and the Vietnam War protests, when Governor Reagan decided that college students had too much time on their hands and it was time to force them to work in order to stay in school. And that's when they started making in-state students pay significant amounts of tuition, and especially at Cal Berkeley, where the big protests were.
No, you're right. Spot on. Bob, I appreciate the time, man. I got to move along.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thanks so much. No, I mean, I remember to Bob's point, the TPP was terrible. And look, this is where the Bernie people and the Trump people were on the right page, and I was 100% with them. As I've said before, Trump hit that nerve on trade, on jobs, on reshoring manufacturing. And as I've said 1,000 times, my family, all of them, homophobic, racist, you name it. Growing up in Cleveland when they did, that was the environment. But they never voted. That never got them out to vote. What got them out to vote is they really believed that Trump was going to bring jobs back, that they were going to, those factories on Brook Park Avenue were going to be humming again, and those union jobs were going to be supporting families and doing all the things that Democrats fought for through the New Deal. They thought that was all coming back. In fact, I actually had one of my relatives try to explain to me that Trump was actually a New Deal New Deal Democrat, which is kind of weird. Let's go to the phones. We've got this is Dan on line four. Dan, how are we doing today? Dan hung up. Well, that wasn't. Oh, what's that?
Dan's on one.
Oh, on one. Oh, okay. Well, Dan, how are we doing today?
Okay.
What's on your mind, brother?
Okay. I'm pretty conservative.
Okay.
Seventh generation American. And there's something going on in the transportation industry I thought would be kind of interesting to clue you in on. 2018 to 2019, there was 3.6 million drivers.
Right.
2019 to 20, there was 3.2 million drivers. As of the end of last year, there's 984,000 drivers left. That's about 28% of the workforce.
Whoa, hold on. Back up. Repeat these numbers for me again. You went from 3.2 million down to 900,000. That's not accurate.
3.6 million from 2018 to 2019. 3.2 million from 2019 to 2020. And 984,000 at the end of 22.
Yeah, I got to see where you're getting those numbers from. That kind of massive drop in an industry that I've spent 35 years of my life in, I would have most certainly seen. So I'm not sure where those numbers are coming from, but I don't buy that. So, but get to your point. For argument's sake, let's say you're right. What's your argument?
Well, the amount of freight that's been dropping off in the United States, and the freight rate being dropped down because there's still so many companies operating in less freight than what there is drivers, and it's causing the inflation because you can't get anything transported for a decent rate, and it all trickles up.
So what's your solution?
The solution is we have to get people back to work. I see help wanted signs everywhere, but nobody's taking the job.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? And I've actually talked about this in the past, Dan. Have you gone on to some of these job sites? Because there are so many jobs that say that they're hiring, and when you reach out to them, you never hear back. I've had people that I've sent for jobs to trucking companies, and they never get a call back. It's interesting that a lot of these places are hiring. We hold job fairs, and interestingly enough, these companies, they don't seem to be hiring anybody. So my problem is there seem to be a lot of for the sake of shareholders that we're growing, we're employing people, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of hiring going on.
Yeah, for the sake of conversation, the trucking company I work for is hiring every day, and they'd hire 1,000 people tomorrow because they can find the work to fill the trucks.
Who do you work for?
If the trucks have drivers. But the warehouses, the manufacturing plants, they have signs everywhere I go. They say, we can't get people to work. We're cutting shifts.
Yeah, I've heard that. And again, as I've said, you know, because I live in a trucking hub area where this we're within 10 hours of 60% of the population here at the split of 76 and 81. In Pennsylvania here. So we're, you know, New York, Boston, Chicago, all of this we get to. And we've got warehouses out the wazoo, all looking for people to hire, they say, but not actually hiring anyone. And even the temp agencies aren't sending them people, which is a weird kind of space. So I'm pushing back against the narrative that nobody wants to work. And I'm pushing back against that pretty hard. And here's the other part of this, and this is where I got to wrap this up. If you really, really wanted people to come work for you, you'd do what UPS just did, and you'd raise your wages. UPS has had a 50% increase in people looking for jobs there because they pay a decent wage with health care. So if what you're saying is accurate, the companies should be offering much, much higher wages and much better benefits and much better home time and much better all kinds of stuff to entice people like me who will not go back on the road again. To go back on the road to earn a living. So that's my argument, Dana. I do appreciate the call, though, buddy. Thanks so much.
Well, I got a 17% raise a year ago.
Fabulous. And you're still there. But everybody I'm talking to, the warehouse jobs around here are paying $13 to $15 an hour. So I'm not seeing your argument. But I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Let's quick go to, what do I got? Who is this? I got Isaac on line two. Isaac, how we doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I can't complain. What's on your mind, brother?
So, yes.
Go ahead.
People actually do want to work. It's just that the owners don't want to hire because they can just exploit the ones who they already have. They just make them work longer hours and more intensely. So it's not that people don't want to work. And I like to fashion myself as a lazy millennial.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
But for me, again, I come back to this reality. We need to be fighting for better wages, hours, and conditions. And if there were so many jobs out there, and I got to find these numbers, and I hope Dan will send me where he's getting the, you know, 3.6, 3.4 million, and then a drop off to 900,000 drivers. Wow, I got to see that. Because I'm still being told by the Trucking Association they're 80 to 100,000 drivers short. So if you laid off all those people, wow. But I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1931. That was the day that the Airline Pilots Association affiliated with the American Federation of Labor. The need for pilots to organize became apparent as early as the mid-1920s. The airline industry was new, and pilots often faced dangerous conditions. They were often put under pressure to fly under adverse conditions, especially if they were tasked with delivering the mail. As the Great Depression swept the country, pilots were asked to fly more and more hours for less money. The organization of pilots started off small and in secret, but soon it grew. In 1930, the union got its unofficial start, holding its first convention the following year. David Bank was elected the first president. Bank had served as a flight instructor for the U.S. Army. He then led the Bank Flying Circus, performing air shows all across the Midwest. From there, he went to work for a private airmail service. As union president, Bank established the organization's headquarters in Chicago. Over the years, as plane technology has changed, the union has fought to ensure the continued safety for the pilots. Pilot fatigue, as well as security concerns, especially after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, have also been important issues for the union. Today, the Airline Pilots Association represents more than 50,000 pilots flying for 31 airlines in the United States and Canada. Their mission statement begins with the commitment to, quote, promote and champion all aspects of aviation safety throughout all segments of the aviation community. I'm learning to fly,
playing God's wings. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So I just got banned on Facebook for Facebook jail. Yeah, I got one of those notices saying you've been very bad. And the reason I bring it up is I appealed it because I think I'm still right. The story, I commented on this story. Pittsburgh airport. Evidently, on August 4th, someone went to the Pittsburgh International Airport and had their dog in a little stroller. And somehow this moron thought, hey, I got the dog in a stroller. They're just going to let me stroll right on the plane. And that's not how it works. If you want to take your dog on the plane, you got to put it in a crate. And that's what this person was told, saying, hey, you can't take the dog. You got to put it on the crate. So this is what you got to do. So evidently security finds this French bulldog in a stroller in the short-term parking area. Evidently, whoever this person was who had the bulldog said, well, if I can't take it on the plane, screw it. I'm going to leave it in the parking lot. And evidently the dog had a microchip and the police are looking for the owner. And I said, when they find them, and this is what I said, I hope someone beats the you-know-what out of them. And that evidently violates their policies. I still stand by it, though. If they find that guy, a whipping probably is well-deserved. Maybe a good caning. Let's go to the phones. We've got Nicholas from Eureka, California, on line one. Nicholas, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Rick. I'm doing better. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Okay. That last caller that called and brought up the point about all these firms are advertising to hire, right? Well, one of the things, these places have HR departments, and those HR departments need to be busy or else they don't have a job themselves. So they've got to put out jobs, right? Yep. They have to put out all these postings, and they don't have to call you back. You know, there's no disclaimer. There's no fine print that says, hey, by the way, we'll give you a call back. So they just can sort through them and put them right in the circular recycling bin.
And it's not like when I was younger, I don't know how old you are, but when I was younger, you went and you knocked on the door. You went, you filled out a paper application. You went, you got somebody's name. You got a reference of, hey, this place is hiring. Go see so-and-so. Now everything's done online. Everything's done through the computer. So there's really no way of policing who's just throwing things out there to make their company look bigger, look like they're growing, look better. Because there's a story on this a couple of months ago that companies are doing just that. They're not actually hiring, but they want their shareholders to believe that they're growing and they just can't find people. So it's all a lot of PR BS.
Yeah, it's a bunch of different logbooks. It's the California logbook, it's the Illinois logbook, it's the everywhere else book, right?
Yeah, did you buy the numbers from 3.6 down to 900,000 drivers? You're in the trucking industry, you know?
No, I'm not, but okay. I used to drive a chip truck, so I had a CDL.
All right.
And I could see there was somebody was on another phone show, and I heard him say something about with the trucks and how, you know, they can start to automate, have like one truck and then have two robots follow along in a real good tandem. Something like that. Maybe that was you.
But, no, it was probably me. You could literally, and they're doing it already through Nevada, Arizona, the southwestern states. They've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And look, where I live in Pennsylvania, you could easily put a bunch of sets on the turnpike and run it from here in central Pennsylvania all the way out to Chicago and not stop. You could just run a rail, a train of stuff and have one guy following it. To clean up the mess if anything happens. So, yeah, there will be mass job loss. It just hasn't happened yet.
No, and it's slow. It's a slow pace, yeah. But, well, we'll see. If they have the chat GPT, the AI is what it's doing, you know. So,
yeah, appreciate
automating it all. Thanks, sir.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it. No, and this again, I want to emphasize this because – like I said, I've sent people to different employers who say that they're hiring, and there's nothing there. You see these signs out front, and there's nothing there. And I've talked to people who work in these warehouses and go, yeah, they've been hiring forever, and they never bring anybody in. It's all a show. It's all a shell game to make the shareholders believe, hey, you know, we just can't hire anybody. We're booming, but we just can't hire anybody. And I go back to my original premise. If you were really booming and if you were really desperate.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.